Ron Ananian.
I chuckle when I still talk to people and phone calls and emails and conversations, and they replace essentially $500, $600, $700, $1,000 worth of parts, and the problem isn't better. I say, why did you pay for a diagnosis? And the answer I always get is, I don't want to spend any money unnecessarily.
Fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, holding them heels, and it's waiting for me there.
The Car Doctor.
You know, the nylon stuff is good, but I don't think it takes the abuse and the beating, which is why GM and a lot of the other car companies don't do it right from the get-go.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
Hey, it's time to start your engines. Hello and welcome, Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Here we are. 855-560-9900, charged up and flying, ready to go this hour, as we're going to solve your car problem. Yes, we are. You pick up the phone, call me, 855-560-9900. I'll fix it, or I'll give you a direction to go. I don't know if that really sounds right. I'm going to tell you where to go. No, I don't want to do that. I'll fix your car, though. That I'll do. Okay, now we got the semantics right. Semantics, whatever. CarDoctorShow.com is the website. You can find more information about us there. There's also a link if you want a podcast, or maybe you are a podcaster, and we thank you for that. But you can find links at CarDoctorShow.com, as well as visit us out on Facebook, Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. You know, all kinds of great stuff going on out there, videos and different things, different repair procedures that we talk about from time to time. And sometimes it's right here on the show. So without any further ado, let's kick the garage doors open. Let's go down to Tampa, Florida, and talk to Mark, 07 Nissan Sentra. Mark, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Hi, Ron. How are you?
Good, sir. What's going on?
Yeah, on highway speed on my 07 Sentra, between 50 and 60 miles per hour under load, there is a vibration on, I feel that like it's more on the right side of the vehicle, and indeed the passenger seat, you could see it moving and vibrating, and only under load, because I mean, I can be, let's say, a 55 and I let go of the the pedal, and it'll stop. And I go back on it, and it'll vibrate, and it gets more violently if I really get on the gas at that speed, right? But after 60 miles per hour, it just disappears.
Are you still applying the pedal, you know, the accelerator pedal, with the same amount of force at 60 as you are at 70 and 80 and so on, however fast you're going, do you think?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So...
It doesn't have to be like a super hard on the pedal. It could be lightly, you know, just cruising and going higher in the higher miles.
Right.
But in between 50 and 60.
What have you done, or what has anybody done to try and diagnose this, Mark?
Okay, what I've done is when I purchased this vehicle about a year ago, and it seemed like at the time when I inspected it before I bought it, it did have a leaking strut, left front strut.
Okay. Right?
But I still purchased it, and maybe a couple of months later, that's when I actually replaced the struts, right, the front struts, and both. I replaced both sides. And it seems like it was after that I started noticing that, because during my test drive, I don't remember that, noticing that vibration. And I did get it up to speed.
Did you happen to replace a drive axle in this?
No, I didn't. And that was, but I did notice about a couple months ago, because I'm like, this is bothering me. So then I'm like, okay, let me just look in there. And I did notice that the inner boot of the right axle, it has a crack. But it's not leaking, because it seems like that doesn't get too much, I said, you know, turning movement, right? The inner boot and the left side, on the right side.
Right.
But But it is, so I guess I might need one.
I'm not saying you need one. I'm just curious what you've done. I mean, you know, sometimes, and I say this a lot, sometimes in diagnosing something, tell me what's good. Tell me what it's not. And that can eliminate an awful lot of things quickly to get you down to the middle. You know, you want to get to the middle of any diagnosis, okay? You know, maybe it's a bad analogy, but, you know, in the Pacific during World War II, they didn't stop and fight at every island, right? They hopscotched. They went from, you know, this island to the middle of the Pacific to the northern Pacific. They tried to get around the enemy as fast as they could, as quickly as they could, for the least, using the least amount of resources. Same thing with a diagnosis. You want to get to the middle of the diagnosis and the end of the diagnosis as fast as possible. I don't want to test everything, but I want to know, you know, test the good stuff. So, did you try rotating the tires just for giggles, just to sit there and say it's not in the tire and wheel?
Yes, I did. I did end up getting two tires because I don't feel it on the steering wheel, right? Not at all.
Right.
I don't feel it. So then I figured, okay, maybe it's the rear wheel. The rear tires are getting bad, and they were getting bad. So I replaced them, but it's still there, right? And I did rotate tires, and I actually did and I did balance them again, right? All of them. And the other thing I did is I used the donut. You know, the emergency tire, and in each position, and drove it just to see if there was one individual tire that was doing it, right? And the same thing.
Well, okay. So now we've eliminated tires and wheels. Okay, you've rotated them, you've checked the balance on all of them. And I'm sure you rechecked the balance, and when you went back and checked the balance the second time, they all balanced to within a quarter ounce of what you had, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So and that's important not to miss that step, because I have seen tires, and it's an issue in the country today that there's a lot of poor quality tires out there, offshore Chinese junk, in plain English, the belts start to wiggle and move and create some balance issues, where you'll come back to the tire three times and have four different weights almost. It seems you're scratching your head like, wait a minute, it was fine 2 weeks ago. What's different? And then you start to look at the tread and you follow the contours of the tire and you see the casing start to move. It's getting to the point where I never have sold the cheaper tires, but it's getting to the point where if it's got the cheaper tires on it, I tell somebody right up front, look, you know, if this becomes a repeatable balance issue, you're putting tires on it if you want me to work on it. So that's fine. We've eliminated that. Could it be related to the strut thing? I don't see how. I'm thinking about harmonics. I'm thinking that is the strut too rigid? That would really be reaching. I don't see where or why that would be the cause of it. I would be, you know, and that's not to say, as you put, it's not in the steering wheel, it's in the back, or it's in the seat. Is it from the rear of the vehicle? All right? So, that being said, go ahead.
Yeah, one thing that I haven't done, and I'm supposed to do after I replace the struts, right, it's alignment. Could that be that would...
I'm not saying it's impossible, Mark, but I like the way you're thinking, because you're telling me what's good. And telling me what's good eliminates the possibilities. The fact that it only does it under load, though, tells me that it's got to be from the front of the vehicle, not the rear. Here's what you could do. Get it up to 60 miles an hour, get the vibration to happen, put it in neutral. Don't put it in reverse at 60, whatever you do. Put it in neutral, brother, right? And if you're coasting in neutral, you know, and find a quiet stretch of road where, because now you're not going to be powered and, you know, that's a problem. You want to find a quiet stretch of road somewhere and just pop it into neutral and coast. If you're telling me you're rolling along at 58 miles an hour and the car is dead smooth, it's not the back, it's not the front, it's something under load, it's something load related. So what's related to that? Well, how are the engine mounts? How's the trans mount? Is there a broken dog bone mount on this car? And then we've got to think about, you know, what's the possibility of it being an axle or a transmission? Do I have a potential bad axle? Does the car pull under acceleration?
I don't think so. No, but okay. Since you mentioned the mount, okay, that's I like that direction too, because I did replace a dog bone. I didn't think it was related, but only because I was hearing like a little rattle, right? And when the engine is in idle, and I replaced the dog bone, and the rattle went away, but it came back. Right, and especially when I'm in drive, right, and I'm in a stoplight, but then as soon as I let go of the brake to go and accelerate off a stoplight, then the rattle goes away. So I'm not sure if maybe the transmission mount is bad.
Well, and I need to you know that. The issue there becomes on an older vehicle, high mileage on this, Marco.
Over 100, yeah, 107.
You know, higher mileage, older vehicle. If one mount is bad, usually there's another one too. You know,
right.
You know, engine mounts are like grapes. They all come in bunches, and it seems like they all fail together. So it's try it in reverse, try it in drive, wiggle, jiggle, look. Does anything look like it's sagging? You know, you may want to just try and get a shot. It'd be nice if you could get the car on a drive-on lift and look at the angle of the drive shaft axles coming out of the front. If one looks like it's dipped at a deeper angle than the one on the other side, then something's causing that to, you know, it's the technical word is angularity inequality. All right. And if one side of the trans or engine is dipped or pulled higher or lower than the other, that angular difference, and I'm talking substantial, not 1 or 2 degrees, and that's an indication of a mount or an engine structure or vehicle structure issue. That angular irregularity, say that 3 times fast, can cause a vibration because you're looking for something that's getting twisted under load. And then last, as long as we've got it up in the air, look at the axles. Do they look original? You know, there are some issues with lesser quality aftermarket axles where they bottom out and they'll transmit vibration through the car that'll make your fillings fall out of your teeth. So you got some homework to do. Tell me what's good. I'll tell you what's bad. But you keep me posted, Marco, and we'll fix this car in the next week or so. 855-560-9900. Ron and Andy, the car doctor. I have to be somebody. Coming back right after this.
What's more fun than listening to Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor and getting that car fixed right? 855-560-9900. Give Ron a call. Now, back to Ron.
Hey, let's get over and talk to Tom in Wisconsin. Tom, have you called about this problem in the past?
I sent you an email. I tried calling, but okay. Couldn't get through at the time.
Boy, it sounds familiar. Tell everybody what's going on here.
We had just purchased a truck for my son. And he came home, and there were strands of, like, fiberglass coming out of the tailpipe. I'd never heard of that before.
I think the muffler's coming apart. You know, the mufflers have sound insulation in them. So, you know, back in the days, remember glass pack mufflers? Well, you know, that was kind of the idea. It was fiberglass insulation, you know, a million years ago when cars were very different. So is it a heavy volume of material?
Not really. There was just like a real thin strand, like about 10 feet, and he said that's all that's come out of it.
But right. You know,
I kind of Googled it, and it looked like it was a bunch wrapped in the muffler, but I was curious on why it was coming out of the tailpipe.
Yeah, it sounds like the muffler is failing internally. So,
okay.
You know, you may want to crawl under the truck and take a look. How does the exhaust actually look? If the exhaust is starting to rust really bad, and I'm not saying just surface rust, if the exhaust is starting to rust on the inside, then it's a sure bet it's rusting on the outside. I'm sorry, it's a sure bet it's rusting on the inside, and it's sure. Starting to degrade and fall apart. Does it sound any louder than when you first purchased it?
You said no. I haven't really drove it myself. So.
Right. You know, there's no harm in it. All right. It is kind of weird. I give you that. But there's no harm in it until, and here's the until, if it actually starts to collapse internally to the point that it gets to be large enough that it actually blocks the exhaust of the muffler, then it's going to cause back pressure to build up, and the car really won't run right. It won't accelerate. It won't have power. And it'll be wherever it is, there you are, if you know what I'm saying. So, I would keep an eye on it, and maybe you want to go talk to an exhaust guy. One thing to keep in mind, you're in Wisconsin. If it's a Wisconsin truck, lots of snow, lots of, ice, right, and lots of chemical to remove the ice. What does it look like under the vehicle in terms of how well is everything holding up? And if it's, we're 7 years old here. Maybe it's time to put exhaust on it. You may want to consider, which is where I'm trying to go with this conversation, you may want to consider using a performance exhaust, at least let the truck breathe a little better. And, you'll probably find that aftermarket exhaust from one of the companies is going to be either stainless steel or aluminized, so it won't rust out as quick as some of the other, regular standard type of exhaust systems that you can replace parts with nowadays.
Alrighty.
All right, sir.
Well, we'll get under and take a look then.
Yeah, and take a careful look. Look at the hangers. Look at everything. The hangers, the flanges, the couplings where things come together. But, if that was a catalytic converter, it would be pebble. It would be a hard, rocky, like substrate, like a lava flow that got hard. It would be like rock, fiberglass like that. The only place I know of that it's there is either in a resonator or in the muffler itself, which means it's failing internally and starting to come apart, and it's just going to get loud one day.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thanks for your help.
You're welcome. You take good care, Tom. Let's get on over and talk to Dodge in Delaware, 14 Jeep Grand Cherokee. Yeah, Dodge.
Yeah, my question was, I'm switching out the battery. I want to save the memory. Can I use my battery charger to save the memory when I disconnect my old battery?
I've heard of people doing it. I don't like it, and I'll tell you why. Because if you're really counting on it to work, if you hit the cable and knock the clamp off, that's a problem. You're going to lose memory, number one. Number two, if you're not careful with the positive cable, and it accidentally grounds, and everything's live at that point, you could hurt things that are on the line, whether it be a computer or a component.
The battery charger would be attached under the hood. The battery's actually under the front seat.
Okay. Then, there's a reasonable chance that will work. I see no reason why not. All right. It also depends, though, what cables they have going to the positive cable. Is it strictly just a positive feed? And I guess I would have to look at a wiring diagram and say, how do they feed power from the battery? Does it just go to the starter and they pull hot from somewhere else? So perhaps a memory saver is the better way to go, because that's safer. We know the vehicle's wired for that. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We're back right after this. Running the Car Doctor. Let's get over and talk to Nancy in Maryland, 08 Honda Civic. Nancy, welcome to the Car Doctor. How can I help?
Oh, hey. It was a Honda Fit. I talked to you about a few weeks ago because I had the alternator replaced and the radio started to act strangely and nobody could figure out why.
Okay.
I would turn the radio on and it would run for like a minute and then shut off. Well, one day I just kept trying. I was getting ready to have the radio replaced. And I just turned it on, and it didn't go off. And it's been fine ever since. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, Honda does some strange things. That's like, you'll use a memory saver on late model Hondas, if you're replacing the battery. And you will plug in a memory saver to the OBD2 port under the dashboard. And you're doing it right. You're doing it the way you're supposed to save memory. And you'll end up with a vehicle that doesn't start because it blows fuse number 23 in the underhood fuse box.
I actually had a guy check that, and the fuse was fine.
Right.
And he did plug in something under the dashboard, and I was going to order a radio. And in between that time, it just started playing normally again. It's odd. I wanted to ask you about something else that's doing funny right now.
Sure, two for
a nickel.
I haven't
had it looked at yet. It's an 08 Honda Fit, as I said. And it's got about 70,000 miles on it. And when I first start out, while the engine is cold and maybe just a little bit beyond that, there, it makes a chirping sound, chirp, chirp, chirp. And it's only when I accelerate, if I just brake or take my foot off the gas, the chirping stops. But, and it only happens when it's cold, when I first start out, after it's been running, you know, driving a few minutes, the chirp is gone.
Okay.
So I was just wondering what you thought that might be.
Well, the easy one is, you know, obviously, could this be a belt under load that's you know, coming due, and, you know, you're applying load to it, and it just happens to make noise. The hard one is it not because of the load of the engine is under, but the position? Do we have a mount problem? Do we have an engine mount that's starting to become an issue, creating a vibration and a chirp, 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 chirp? So is it duplicatable? Can somebody, you know, duplicate it by driving the car?
I'm sure they could, because it happens just about every single time.
No, well, then I think, you know, let them diagnose it. It may be a case where they've got to power brake it or go for a road test. And, you know, sounds are funny things. Being there on the scene, at least, you know, you've got more of a sense of where it is and where it's coming from. We had a what was it? It was a 2003 Honda CRV. No, I'm sorry, an 06 Honda CRV this week that had sat since January. The owner was in the hospital sick, and they took him a while to recover, and they hadn't driven the car in, what is it, 6 months? And it came to me. It was in my rack this week, and the description was, vehicle sounds like a helicopter. Mm-hmm. And I went, And I walked around, and there was no propellers on it, and there was no blades on it. And I said, well, it's not a helicopter, so it's got to be a reason. And I took it for a ride, and it really didn't make the noise. And I went, look at that. Like, you know, it's the symptom's not there. How often does that happen? And then I went to stop. And when I went to stop, you heard, you know, I said, gee, it kind of sounds like a helicopter. The brake rotors had rusted from sitting, to the point that it just, and then all of a sudden it made sense. So we ended up having to do four-wheel brakes. The pads were okay, but they were so badly decayed from sitting that it just didn't pay to take everything apart, do rotors with no pads. But, sounds are interesting, to say the least, but it just takes a little bit of thought. So I would say, you know, can the shop duplicate it? And then,
I'm not sure that I can. I guess I misunderstood your question. The chirping only happens the first time I try to take the car out in the morning or whenever I leave the house.
Okay.
I can go to a restaurant, sit there for three or better hours, watch a sports game or something. And when I come out to go home, car's been sitting a couple hours, no chirp.
So it's only very first thing in the morning.
Uh-huh.
How long has it been doing it?
About 3-4 weeks.
Okay. So it's still summer, right?
Yeah.
The question will be, if we do it in December or January, when waiting 3-4 hours is going to take on a whole new meaning of cold.
Oh.
Right?
Right.
You know, it's going to be a lot colder in December than it is now, hopefully. And And at that point, it's got to be a temperature-related thing. So perhaps if you want to get it fixed now, you can drop it off to the mechanic the night before. And, you know, and listen, if you trust the mechanic and he's your regular guy, say, hey, listen, do you want to drive it home?
I guess the guy that I've found is okay. I'm new to the area.
Right.
I used to live 3 hours from here.
Right.
So, this is a new guy for me. I don't really know anything about him.
Right. So, well, you know what? We're going to find out what he's made of. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's okay. You know what? Sometimes the best mechanics are the ones you find you sort of stumble across that you didn't realize what was there.
Right.
One of the things I've learned in life, and it took me a while to learn it, was that, you know, it's that old theory about empty drums make the most noise. And the mechanic you go into that's just quietly working in the corner, he's probably the best mechanic of all, because he doesn't have to tell you how good he is. He knows how good he is. And, there's a lot to be said for that.
His job is an obscure little tucked away side room kind of thing.
You know, that's, he doesn't need to live by the flash and the frills. He's sort of, you know, It's
well, that's good. That makes me feel better.
So, of course, that's coming from the guy who's got the national spotlight. But I never tell anybody that. You know, I'm going to see. Listen, I'm going to see if I can make it to Cape Cod this week because we're going to go take a trip for a couple of days. I'm going to make sure I go up there and discreetly wearing black T-shirts so nobody knows who I am.
There you go.
We'll see. So, hey, listen. As always, I appreciate talking to you, Nancy. And if the Honda has any other issues, you give us a call. All right.
I will. Thank you, Ron.
You're very welcome. You take good care. Hondas. Where was I? It was the funniest thing. Somebody had a problem with their Honda, and they were all upset, and I had to explain to them what Honda meant, and I just kind of floored them, and I left the room, and they were like, yeah, he's right. Had one, never did again. You know, it was just, they're like, I understand that now. So it's, I just, you know. Interestingly, and I want to just touch on this real quick before we go to pull over. There's something going on. There's something going on with cars. Yeah, no kidding. Hyundai, Kia, Ford. Ford's got an issue. Honda. Toyota, not as much, but they did up until about a year, 8 months ago. Engine issues. All sorts of engine failures, oil consumption. Not across the board. Certain models. Ford's got the problem with the Escape that they're dealing with and they're taking care of. Honda's got a problem. Honda's got a big problem with the CRVs, that they're having oil consumption issues, and I'm getting a few customers now where the engines are running out of oil because the people aren't. Here's the problem with that longer oil change thing, right? Everybody gets in the habit of not checking their oil and going longer on oil changes, and all of a sudden they run the car out of oil, and it's like a oops. And we had a customer this week with a 2012 Hyundai Sonata. All right, 90,000 miles, well-maintained. The father's car, father passed. Unfortunately, they gave it to the daughter, and the son-in-law brought it into us. And can you come out listen to my car? It's making this funny noise. Here we are with the noise thing again, right? And you go outside, and you hear knock, 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 knock. You know, my dog could tell you that it's got a bad rod knock. You know, and you go through the bulletin pile and the recall pile, and sure enough, Hyundai's got an extended warranty, and they're having a problem, and it's a 35-page bulletin about how to check for engine noise. Well, I don't know. I kind of went out there, and I heard knock, 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 knock. I knew something was up. It didn't sound kosher to me. But the point is, the value and the essential need for doing proper oil changes using a good quality filter is really, really coming to a head. They've you know, fortunately for the Hyundai owner this week, he took it into Hyundai, and yeah, it's under warranty. And he said the service writer sounded very, he didn't use the word knowledgeable. It was something like aware. And he didn't want to argue with me. Like, they're getting a lot of these. And I said, yeah, I said, this is like the fourth one I've seen in 2 months. Hyundai Kia is this one particular, or two particular engines. They're putting engines in cars. So it's amazing. It always boggles my mind when we can't, you know, it's kind of like making a railroad track. I'm waiting to hear when we can't make railroad tracks anymore. You know, it's like we've only been doing it for, what, 150 years? You know, we can't make railroad tracks anymore. We can't build an engine anymore because, you know, we've only been doing that since 1902. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's cruising back right after this. Welcome back. We're on Ronan Ainey, the Car Doctor. By the way, you know, Mikey, Alexa died in the studio today. Just like that. Let's see if Alexa works. Yeah, look, Alexa's not working. So what's going to happen? I was thinking about this with connected cars, right? That what's going to happen when we're counting on the internet to connect to the car to guide it? Does that mean that the self-driving car stops? You know, when the internet goes down, I don't want to say her name again, but when loses connection, she stops working. All right? So when the connected car loses connection, they must have a way to override that, because I'm definitely not smart enough to have thought of that all. I can't be the first guy to think of that. You know, I wonder what sort of redundancy packages they've... Oh, my God. Let's get over to Isaac in Minnesota. Isaac, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. What's going on?
Hey, Ron, I got a 97 Toyota Camry 4-cylinder and having some cruise control. I don't really want to say issues. The cruise control works fine.
But,
you know, I can set it, resume. Yeah. The only issue is when I'll go down, when I like go down or go down to a sort of a descent, the car maintains speed, but not in a very smooth manner. So it'll maintain speed, but it's almost like a pulsation of a jerking motion to ensure that, you know, I'm not speeding up rather than a gradual, you know, maintaining of speed. It's, and I got two codes. I don't have a check engine light, but I scanned it just to see if anything popped up. I had one that was P0505 for the idle air control.
Right.
And then one P0401 for insufficient flow, EGR. And yeah, I didn't know if that would be related. I did go through and clean out the throttle body. You know, I replaced some of the vacuum hoses because some of those looked obviously a little weathered. And it seems to, things have cleared up a little bit. I get a better idle and such, but I'm still getting that sort of that rough adjustment when going downhill utilizing the cruise control.
Do you, if you clear the codes, do they come back?
Yeah, yep, because I took it to O'Reilly. They pulled them for me, and I asked them, hey, clear them out. And then I waited about a month. I went back there, and again, no check engine light, but went back. They pulled it, same two came back up.
Just for giggles, when you turn the key on but the engine's off, does the check engine light light up?
I believe it does.
It better. You're looking now, I assume?
Yeah, hang on a minute. Let me, because you're on Bluetooth, so let me...
Uh-oh.
All right, that's better.
Dum-da-dum-dum. Well, does it light up?
You know what? I'm not seeing it lighting up, no.
Okay. So now we know why the light's not on.
I guess so, yeah. That makes sense.
That makes sense, right? So, because the light's got to come on, brother. So that means somebody fixed the car by, well, they were out of electrical tape that day. So maybe the bulb is missing. Or maybe the bulb burnt out because the light was on for so long. Are you the original owner on the car, or did you purchase it recently?
No, I got it back in April.
4 months. Right.
Yep.
Right. So, you know, has it always kind of bucked and done what you're describing?
I mean, only in that instance. And I know the guy that I purchased it from, since I'm up north, the body's in really good shape.
Right.
And apparently they put a new engine transmission into it because the former owner, you know, engine transmission went out. So apparently this engine transmission has 140 on it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Regardless, but here's the point I'm trying to make. If this has been doing it continuously, you know, this could have a bad cruise control actuator, and there are some tests you can measure clutch resistance. It's got to be like 34 to 40 ohms, and you can go through all that. I'd solve the EGR and the idle control circuit fault first, do some basic diagnosis there, because come inspection time, that car's never going to pass state inspection, and that's a bigger issue. Because it's got an emissions fault and it's going to have a check engine light on. So take it to a mechanic or take the dash apart. Is it missing a bulb? Is the bulb burnt out? Do we have another electrical issue? Let's get the bulb in there. Let's make sure the light works and functions, and then we can talk about the rest of the codes. 855-560-9900. I'm coming back right after this. Welcome back. We're on the name of the Car Doctor, Tom in Maryland, 97 Honda CRV. Go, Tom. I got 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, what it is, mechanics checked it twice, a couple of times. I have a 97 CRV, 218,000 original miles on it. The rear wheel, is, I thought it was a wheel bearing. Or he said no. He went into it and took everything off its drum brake, and there was rust in there, and he actually showed me piles of rust. So he cleaned it all up and all, and when it's going down the road, you'll hear beep 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 like it's scraping, and then it'll get louder, and then when you get a high speed, you won't hear it. When you slow down and start to brake, and after you're starting to brake, you'll hear it. It just kind of it sounds like it's something scraping.
Right.
But he's going in, checked it. He said, doesn't need the brakes. It doesn't need the drum is good. He's cleaned all of it, all the rust.
Well,
stuff
but
out.
It, he said, but it, it's, you know, so let's do this. Let's take the drums off. Let's paint the area where the contact, because if I remember right, the drum is double lipped and the backing plate
right,
fits between
it.
The lips. Okay.
He did paint it. He told me he painted it. He said maybe that would help. And I think it did for a little while.
Well, I was going to say, Tom, I was going to say paint it, drive it, take the drum off, look for the wear mark. Is there a shiny silver spot? If there's a shiny silver spot, the drum is showing you where the hit is. But if it's from the rear and it's got rust on it, very common that as the drums start to age and fall apart, that it will be an issue. So try painting it, you're dyeing it, marking it, and looking for the spot when you and you'll know what to do from there. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. The mechanics aren't expensive; they're priceless. See ya.